Austin, there is a lot going on in environmental news right now. Let's start with wildfires and whether the smoky brown skies we had last summer could come to our region.
Well, Kirsten, the fire map has really changed just in the past week. Several fires are now burning in Washington as well as Oregon. Our region on both sides of the Cascades shows up in red on the National Wildland Fire Outlook map. That means the potential for significant fires is above normal. The Bootleg Fire in southern Oregon has burned 200,000 acres and is fouling the air down there. You know, so far here in the Puget Sound region, we've escaped the effects of the smoke. Right now, the state's five-day smoke forecast shows us mostly in the green, but all it takes is a change in the weather patterns to bring us smoke from Oregon or from British Columbia, where there are also fires burning, and it's happened before. So I would say it's probably a matter of time. Let's enjoy the sunny skies, the clear air while we can.
Right. And we are also learning more about how the record heat wave affected the region. There's news on the number of people who died, including an unsheltered man who was quite well known in Olympia.
Right. So the Department of Health has now identified 91 potential heat-related deaths from June 26th to July 6th. That's up from 78 last week. One of the people who died was a man named Barnett Moss, who is very familiar to denizens of the state capitol. Before COVID closed the capitol, he often occupied a bench on the third floor near the House of Representatives. He would sit there with his backpack reading for hours on end. In my experience, he was a man of one-word answers, yes, no, but he had a very warm smile, and he came to be a real fixture at the capitol. People looked out for him. At a memorial service for him last Friday, members of the capitol security and custodial staff attended. The head of visitor services spoke at the memorial. And other state employees talked of bringing him lunch or sharing their lunch with him. He died outside of a church where he spent his evenings after turning down an offer to come inside where it was cooler. It's a very sad story here.
That's right. And it's really the stories about people impacted by the news that really grips you. And you were reporting this morning on a women-owned fitness club in Olympia that almost didn't survive the COVID pandemic. What have you learned about the impact of the recession to small women and minority-owned businesses?
Well, the toll was especially steep for these businesses. In the first few months of the pandemic, an analysis out of the University of California at Santa Cruz found that nationally, there was a 41% decline in business activity for African-American-owned businesses, for example. And we know these businesses struggled to access pandemic relief and aid, especially early on. And they face additional challenges coming out of the pandemic, especially when it comes to access to credit and capital. I talked to a couple of experts at the University of Washington. One is quite concerned about the structural barriers to recovery for these women and minority-owned businesses. But I also spoke with a former dean of the Foster School of Business who was more optimistic. He thinks that the racial reckoning that this country has been going through over the past year may lead to more business-to-business opportunities for smaller minority-owned businesses as larger companies focus in more on equity and diversity and partnering, perhaps, with these companies.
Well, that's interesting. I want to pivot a bit, Austin, to a report on solitary confinement at the state prison in Monroe. Who wrote it and what does it say?
This is a report from the state's corrections ombud. That office launched the investigation after getting a report about a Black Puerto Rican prisoner at the prison in Monroe who was put in administrative segregation. That's the prison's term for solitary confinement, for allegedly trying to start a hunger strike, and he stayed there for 112 days. The investigation found that others at the Monroe prison were also held in isolation for extended periods of time. The report recommends that prisoners be held in solitary confinement for no more than 30 days because of the impacts to mental health. In its response, the Department of Corrections says it already has a practice of limiting segregation to 30 days, and that if it's going to go on longer than that, there's a process in place for extending it, but the agency says a hard 30-day cap would put both staff and prisoners at risk. The department also notes that it's been working with the Vera Institute of Justice since 2019 to reduce the use of restrictive housing, and it says that work has resulted in an overall reduction in the use of administrative segregation across all 12 state prisons.
All right. Well, before I let you go, Austin, I understand the press houses at the Capitol in Olympia are on the auction block?
They are. The press has long occupied two-story houses on the Capitol campus. They're easily missed, but that's where we work. There used to be a lot more of us, and now we're kind of rattling around in these two houses, and they're rather old, and the state has plans for that land. They're going to redevelop it. So the houses are going to be auctioned off. If nobody wants to buy them and move them, they're going to be knocked down, and we're going to be moved into the first floor or the basement at the Capitol.
All right,
end of an era.
Definitely is the end of an era, Austin. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.